Now, have you ever thought back to when you were a child and wondered if things were different to how they are now? Well, our first guest has done exactly that and is decided to start exploring, I told you it was going to be one of them days, with his own children. Here to tell us about his latest book, welcome to the show, Richard Smith.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So it's called, the book's called The Jay, the Beach and the Limpet Shell, Finding Wild Things with My Kids. So tell us about it.
Okay, so it's a book about, that I wrote. I've got two children, they're now 5 and 4, and they were a bit younger than that when I started writing it. And I wanted to write about the relationship that they're going to have with nature, with the world around them. And it turned out to be a book that's not so much... It is partly about parenting, about my own experience as a dad, because I was a nature-mad kid, and I'm trying to bring my kids up to be nature-mad kids too. It's partly about being a parent, but more than that, it's about being a kid. It's about trying to look at the world around us, the changing natural world around us, through the eyes of kids, and to explore those complicated, difficult, beautiful, magical, frightening things that are out there when you start looking.
Mm. I assume it's full of wonderful pictures, is it?
I'm afraid not. No, it's a grown-up's book, so it's about children for grown-ups, but it's about exploring them. It's actually not so much about looking as it's about touching. One of the things I talk about a lot is the relationship I've had with nature is always I've always wanted it to be hands-on. So it's all about that urge that little kids have. This is why it's called The Jay, the Beach and the Limpet Shell, because it's about the things that we find, the things we pick up. It's not enough when you're a kid, and, well, for me, when you're growing up too, to go out and just look at nature. You want to be turning over stones and picking up toads and bugs, and you want to be collecting things, you want to be grabbing things. So it's all about... It's all about the experience of doing that and how that affects your relationship with the natural world. Obviously, it's more difficult to do that than it was when I was a kid and generations before that, because nature's such a fragile thing these days in a way that it didn't seem to be when I was little.
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember going to the local park and it had a stream, and we used to go tadpoling, and we used to look for butterflies and things like that. But I worry that children are too much on their iPads and their games and things now to actually enjoy nature.
It's true, but in a way they have to be, because you have to, you know, the only sensible thing these days is to keep a bit of distance. You know, the generations before me were going out collecting birds' nests and eggs. Obviously, that was unthinkable even by the time I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now, even things like tadpoles, frogs, we have to tread so carefully. And while I can obviously see the good sense in that, because nature's in a very bad way at present, and we need to do what we can to tread carefully and protect it. At the same time, I do worry that we lose something because we don't have that intimacy, that closeness.
Yeah.
With the natural world. I do try not to be too hard on, iPads and the internet and all that, because used right, it's an amazing way to connect with nature. And also, you know, I'm a suburban kid of the 80s, so I got into nature through David Attenborough and Terry Nutkins as much as I did through yomping through woods and fishing in ponds. So it'd be a bit hypocritical for me to say that they shouldn't be, you know, looking at natural stuff on their tablets or Steve Backshall on the telly.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. And whereabouts in the world are you with your children? Whereabouts are you looking at the nature?
We're in West Yorkshire, near Bradford.
Oh, lovely. Yes, I thought that was a Yorkshire accent, actually.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I grew up in Wakefield, which is just down the road.
And it says here you also explore rock pools in Whitley Bay.
That's right, yeah. My wife's from Whitley Bay, which is up near Newcastle. It's a beautiful part of the world, beautiful coastline. And so we're up there fairly often, and the kids have, you know, ready access to the beach, which is something I, you know, would have dreamed of as a kid. For me, the beach when I was little was 2 weeks in August at Filey off Scarborough. And that was it, and the beach ceased to exist outside of that time. But we go up, you know, maybe once a month, twice a month.
Yeah, brilliant.
And we're 2 minutes from the beach, and they get to see it in all seasons. And it's such a small thing. You know, it's a thing that so many people will take for granted. But when you're little, these things are magical.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was a lot hotter when I was a kid to go on holiday.
Oh yeah, the long summers always seemed. Yeah.
Well, we have to clarify for our listeners, when we say the beech, the J, the beech and the limpet shell, it's B-E-E-C-H. So you're talking about a beech leaf, for example.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. There are beeches of each kind in the book, but yeah, the title is about the beech leaf.
Right. Because
each chapter has its own sort of theme that I explore. And I do that through this collection of items which are typical of my kids to pick up. So there's a jay feather, which is one of the most beautiful feathers we've found. A beech leaf, which were there obviously thousands of in the woods near us. Limpet shells from the beach. I also talk about an owl pellet, which is how we get into some of the slightly more gruesome questions about nature, which I find really interesting to look at through my kids' eyes.
It sounds
and also
like
a chaffinch nest that we found in the woods.
Oh, a chaffinch nest?
Yeah, yeah. Ah. This is obviously...
Yeah, it sounds like it's sort of part memoir and part environmental book, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it covers quite a lot of ground, really. I use the memoir as a jumping-off point to talk about... because it's not... I mean, my own life is, you know, fairly uneventful. but I talk about my early experiences of nature and getting to grips with nature as a jumping-off point to explore all kinds of other stuff. So I talk about birds and plants and creatures and all sorts, and I talk about environmental challenges and how the state of the world and what we can do to help it. I talk about being a parent, but I also talk about Charles Darwin and Mary Anning and Charles Waterton and the great naturalists of the past and how they engaged with nature. So like a lot of my writing, I've started with small things that, you know, from my childhood or from my kids' childhoods, and then, you know, I've just gone off rambling with them. I think nature is very good for thinking with. This is why I write about it so much. It's such a complicated and rich thing that when you start thinking and writing about it, it can take you to all kinds of different places, and that's one of the things I love about it.
And lots of history as well, like you say. There's a lot of history behind it. Yeah. So is this your first book?
No, this is number... Oh, gosh. 10, I think.
Wow. Non-fiction, is it?
I've written two novels, and the rest have been mostly non-fiction. I started out writing sort of history. My first ever book was an illustrated history of toilet paper, entitled Bum Fodder. It's still, I think, the best known of my books, actually. It's still in print.
I don't know why we're not talking about that today instead.
No, a few years ago, I started... I've been a freelancer for 12 years now, and I started writing about nature probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago. And so, yeah, I know my books now are mainly in that field, and it's just... As I say, I love it because it gives you license to write about so much else. You know, it's such a rich and complicated thing. You can be quite wide ranging while still talking about nature and the modern human world.
And am I right in thinking you do crosswords as well?
Yeah, that's another of my
strings to your bow. Yeah,
jobs. No job for a grown man. Yeah, I set loads of crosswords. Some cryptic, some sort of. Quiz crosswords for various magazines. I do one for BBC Wildlife magazine, which is nice.
Oh, wow.
Various other things. It all comes out of, the quizzes and crosswords. All started with going on Mastermind.
Were you talking about nature?
Say again, sorry.
Was your specialist subject nature?
It was the first time. I had to have three subjects because I got through three rounds. But my first one was British birds, and that got me started. And then when it was all finished, I started writing questions for Mastermind. Again, no job for a sensible adult. But that and the crosswords got going around then. As a freelancer, you know, you tend to multitask.
Yes, I'm sure.
And you never know what might come up. So, it's a nice way to make a living.
So all these things that you do, do you have a website so people can find out more?
Most of my writing, anyway, my crosswords aren't really on there, but because they're all for so many different publications. But, yeah, certainly, if you Google Richard Smith with a Y, it should come up. It's richarddsmith.co.uk, I think.
Wonderful.
And loads of my writing's on there, links to my books, links to my journalism, and all the other strange things that I do. And, this book comes out in paperback. I think it's out What are we at? 20th of March. I don't know.
Yeah, I've got the 28th of March. I don't know if that's just where we are. Yeah, 28th of March. And you can pre-order it from the TRE bookshop as well. So I'll just tell our listeners the title again. It's called The Jay, The Beach, with two E's, and The Limpet Shell, Finding Wild Things with My Kids, and it's by Richard Smith with a Y. Richard, it's been fascinating chatting to you. Thank you for being on today's show.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.